she is. Hey, Gigi.
I'm Nailing It Bat with Charlie Rowe, and he is starring in Gigi and Nate. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Do you love my monkey?
I do. I love your monkey. It looks very similar to mine.
That sounds oddly perverted, but should we start over?
No, let's go. Let's carry on.
So tell me about bonding with the lovely Allie.
It was such a surprise. Honestly, I had no idea what to expect. I was extraordinarily excited by the prospect of working with a monkey. I thought it would be a lot of fun, and it was. But there were a lot of protocols to sort of follow. You know, obviously she's an animal, and it's not an animal that I'm familiar with. So at first it was quite tentative, and then, you know, like working with any other actor. The more you work together, the more familiar you get with each other, the closer you become. And by the end, she really, you know, she did actually feel like my service animal on it. She was comforting me at times. I mean, there was one day on set where she out of nowhere just started grooming my hair.
Love it.
I mean, I loved it too. It was like, it made me emotional. You know, I really felt it. I felt cared for.
Because that's like the ultimate love a monkey can give you, right? Is to groom you.
Right. I mean, well, yeah, that's how I took it as, you know, I took it like I'm the love of her life. It was really, and you know, that moment when, because usually the wranglers, the monkey wranglers and the owners would sort of bring her over and put her on my lap as I'm sat in a chair and we would begin the scene. But there are a couple, you know, maybe 2 weeks in, 3 weeks in, where she just sort of hops over to me. She knows exactly where she's going and she just sits on me. And, you know, that was the, you did feel the bond. You did feel the bond. And it helped with the scene, you know, it made things live.
Yeah, that's so gorgeous. So what were some of those protocols? And I mean, did you have a safe thing that you needed if she acted out or anything like that?
Well, there was, so because they work hierarchically, Mike, who I suppose you would say is Ali's parent figure, he's the only one that's allowed to say no to the monkey. So I was not allowed to use that word because it would potentially make her angry. And if ever there was a moment where I felt uncomfortable or she was sort of, you know, because they can get excited and they can start sort of playing with your hair. And sometimes it can be, you know, not as cute as you might think. You know, it can be, they can get very excited and they jump up and down. And if they're holding a bit of your hair, that can be, it'll be painful. But Mike would just come along and swoop her up and take care of her, you know, and she was a wonderfully happy animal. So there was never any, I felt safe at all times, you know.
What were some of her favorite treats? That did you have to sort of give her a lot of those?
A lot of blueberries, a lot of, she had these like these little fruit snacks. I don't quite know what they were called, but they were like these small little almost fruit gummies that she loved. I mean, loved. And then peanut butter, she obviously adored. I mean, these feature in the movie. That's how much she loved them. It's like they had to feature in the movie. Otherwise, she wouldn't come to me if I didn't have peanut butter in my hand. And then there was one day on set where she was, she's having to feed me breakfast. And I have like eggs and bacon. And she's just like taking a little bit of the eggs and like putting it in her mouth and stuff like that. but I don't know if she enjoyed that much. I think it was more just like testing it out. Like, what is this? But blueberries and peanut butter were her number one.
Oh, that's gorgeous. Do you think you could ever own a monkey, or you had it for the movie?
I've done my time with monkeys. I think, you know, I think for the disabled community, for disabled people who need that. I mean, they're so helpful for, quadriplegics or people who, you know, lack, mobility in their, you know, in their limbs. They are unbelievably helpful. So in that case, own away, do your thing. Not for me. I don't need it. You know, I live with my sister back home. That's enough.
She's your service animal, your sister.
No, she's just like, there's enough going on. You know, there's enough in the house. There's enough energy in the house.
I get it. I tease. So talking about the paraplegic portion of the film, what was your research? How difficult was that for you to work in a wheelchair, not to be able to use your body, like just from like here up, you know?
I mean, those were the limitations as an actor, you know, because so much of it is about your body and how you feel in your body, you know, but being limited to the chair was scary, but also just the reality. I mean, these guys, Ned and Craig, who two men who suffered very similar injuries to Nate, you know, I spoke with them a lot, and it's just the reality of it, you know, so their bodies move in a different way. So yes, I was limited, but it's also going to be, it's the truth. You know, you just end up moving your neck more and moving, you know, your shoulders more and moving your wrist more and stuff like that. But there was a lot of research. There was, you know, 2 months in advance where I was speaking with a physical therapist about, you know, initially just the injury itself and actually what is happening within the body. And the spine and things like that, and then trying to translate that to what can I move physically, and how does that feel, and okay, how, you know, what would it be like to eat a cheese, you know, I have to eat a cheeseburger in one of the scenes, so actually trying to work that out, how do I eat a cheeseburger, you know, how do I use the chair, and then there's the whole psychological aspect as well. So that was just speaking to these guys, Ned and Craig and even Nancy, who works with a lot of people with spinal cord injuries. So just trying to work out how they feel in their day-to-day and how they felt at the time of their accident and what the year was like after that and what the year after that was like. And ultimately I just try to spend as much time in the chair as possible.
So you took the chair, home with you and you practiced at home?
Yeah, I had the chair at my Airbnb in LA for about 2 weeks. And so we had a ramp up to the house and there was a mobility van that would take me to rehearsals and the first time I met Ali and, you know, take me on errands to Trader Joe's and Target, you know, when I needed to just pick stuff up. But it was fascinating just to see how people behaved, you know, when they saw me and how they treated me.
So what were those observations that you made?
Well, in Target, I noticed two the sort of people treated you. Well, in Target, everyone was overly courteous to me. For some reason, I was expecting, oh, I'm going to be ignored. I'm going to be looked down at. Everyone was unbelievably courteous. A lot of wide eyes, like, hi, good morning. You know, lots of smiles. Which I thought was interesting, like, oh, wow, they're, and then the more I thought about it, I was like, oh, maybe they're putting that on, or maybe not, maybe it's just Los Angeles, but maybe they are putting it on. And then I noticed on set when I would be in the chair, because there's so much going on, there's so much activity, everyone's just doing their jobs, that I would sort of be, I was almost ignored, you know, like people forgot that I was there at times. So there were those things of like almost too much attention and then no attention at all. And then what that does to your, like, no one's actually treating you truthfully.
Interesting.
You know? And what does that do to you psychologically? You know, like how does that make you feel? I know for me, it made me feel frustrated and it made me want to, get people's attention, you know, or it made me fall into myself, you know, and just retreat. And fine, if you're going to ignore me, then I'm going to ignore myself. And then you start to realize that in the script, and you see that Nate's actually doing that at times. It's very, very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. And so when you were in Target, did any of your robots recognize you?
Oh my God, I haven't heard that tone. I have not heard that tone in a long time. No. I don't know if any of them are in.
I love that. You have that is probably better than Benedict Cumberbatch's.
It's a, I suppose it is a good nickname. Yeah. No, I haven't heard that in a long time. If they're out there, say hi.
How do you get a nickname like that? Who like gives that to you?
I don't know. It was being 14, 15 years old on Twitter, and it just it, and the creativity of other 14 year olds on Twitter, I suppose. Yeah, I don't know. It's assigned to me.
Well, it works, but you come from a showbiz family, so you should be used to the attention. Yeah.
I mean loosely, you know, not I have my grandparents were like in theater and stuff like that, but they've seen a certain side of the industry and they've worked within the industry, absolutely, but I don't know if they were ever assigned nicknames by a group of excited young girls.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I wonder what my grandma Andre's nickname would have been.
And your father and aunt were also actors, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. My dad was acting for a while, and he doesn't do it as much anymore. And my aunt is an extraordinary theatre actor back home. And my mum used to teach drama, you know. So there's a lot there, you know.
Yeah, it's a great pedigree. So now back to Nate and Gigi. What did you take away from this film in terms of service animals and you know, the love of animals? You must have really gotten a lot out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I hope the audience just takes away that service animals are unbelievably important to disabled people. You know, they provide not only just help with daily life and activities, but they provide a purpose for some of these people when they feel like they've lost it. You know, so there's a lot of psychological help that's provided with service animals. So I hope people realize that there's more to it than maybe what they initially thought. And I also just hope, I hope the audience are as moved by the film as I was. You know, I was just moved by the resilience shown by the whole family in the film.
Yeah, I was cheering you on. It was so great, really so special. Yeah.
It's a very cute movie.
Yeah. Do you have sort of an empathy to maybe work with service animals? Because I've always wanted to train seeing eye dogs because I love dogs, and wouldn't that be cool?
I've been sort of reading up on, or I guess through the research on this movie, I was reading up about sort of how, you know, where service animals are and how they work with, you know, people with epilepsy, you know, and obviously blind people as well. You know, I think they're invaluable, really. We met, there was one day on set where we had, I think it was about 60 to 80 background artists who were all disabled people, and so we met so many service animals because they all came to set, and it was just an unbelievably beautiful day on set, just to be surrounded by that many animals and just see the bond between these between people and their pets, and it just provides disabled people with so much life and so much joy, and yeah, very important.
Absolutely. Well, you can count me as a robot from here on in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie, so much.
Thanks so much. Really love to speak to you.
You too as well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He has a monkey.
Well, what do you want me to do about it? It's free country. always news,
always refreshing,
always candid,
always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.